Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
Season 7, Episode 2 of the Bygling Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon 1, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bygling Legends podcast. And we are going to be talking today, again, about some old school bodybuilding. This is our new season, Season 7. And in Episode 1, we talked to my friends from Chicago, Al Jakic, Terry Strand, and 1966 Mr. America Bob Gaida, and they were talking about the old school days of bodybuilding in the 1960s and 70s out in the Chicago area. So today we're going to be talking to Larry Jackson, and Larry Jackson was the 1979 Mr. California winner, and he was also a very top competitor in the national level in the 1970s. Larry spent a lot of his time at Gold's Gym, at the original Gold's Gym. So we got some great stories from Larry Jackson talking about old school bodybuilding in the California area, particularly Gold's Gym. So Larry's going to talk about his days competing there and a lot of the guys that he met, a lot of the guys that he trained with. So he's got some great stories to tell. I ran into Larry when I was training with Phil Williams out at Gold's Gym about a month ago around Memorial Day. And Larry trains in the morning and I didn't recognize him, but he's still a really big guy. And Phil introduced me to him. So I asked if he wanted to be on the show. Larry stutters a little bit, but got some great stories, and he talks about a lot of the bodybuilders that were popular during that time, so you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. All right, I do want to mention we are brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One. Everybody wants to be a champion. Everyone wants to be the best. At Redcon One, they believe in working hard to achieve your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or running a six-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. Their premier clinically dosed pre-workout, Total War, is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And you can fuel your body after those workouts with the revolutionary MRE. This is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs, and carb sources coming from sweet potatoes and oats. And it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. This is the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And also be sure to check out their brand new MRE bars, which are available in many flavors at redcon1.com. And if you go on redcon1.com and try some of these supplements, enter the discount code LEGENDS so they will know that you listen to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and you'll also get a 15% discount off your order. We're also brought to you by Old School Labs. I have been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements to the discerning athlete. I'm talking no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. You may have heard of their award-winning fat burner Vintage Burn, the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner, or Vintage Blast, the world's first two-stage pre-workout. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They're the brand I used to win the Natural Mr. Universe contest in 2012. They're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, the 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champion, and the 2018 Classic Physique Arnold Classic champion. They also sponsor 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Benoot and bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you will get 12% off your order when you go to oldschoollabs.com, or you can order off of amazon.com. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. All right, speaking of Old School Labs, I just got back yesterday from California. I was out shooting a video for their new Vintage Brawn protein that Old School Labs has. So I was out there with Tom Platz and Samir Benoot and Breon Ansley. So it was great seeing all those guys again. And we spent all day Friday filming this commercial. So they have another commercial where they have a guy and a girl at a restaurant. So they're eating eggs, a steak, and milk, which is the protein that is used in Vintage Brawn protein. And the guy is on a date with this really beautiful girl. Her name was Margarita. She was from Russia. And he is talking about how the old school bodybuilders, like myself and Tom and Samir and all the guys from the golden era, we used to use protein from whole foods like eggs, milk, and beef. And that's a longer lasting protein. So that's what they are promoting with their vintage Braun protein. So I was out there all day. It was a lot of fun, but I am done with flying for a while. Thank God. It was a lot of flying in a 2-day period because I flew out there on Thursday and came back last night. So I'm done. Done with flying, back to training, back to eating good. But it was a lot of fun. It was a great time seeing those guys. Breon looks great. He's like 12 weeks out from the Olympia, and he's starting his diet, I think, this coming week. And he took his shirt off in one of our video spots that we did. And, man, he looks great. He's real thick. I hope he wins again. He's got a great physique, and he's a really, really great guy. I never got to know him before we started doing these videos, but he's a really nice guy, very humble. He really appreciates the golden age. Tom Platz and Samir were giving him some great advice, and he really listens. He really respects those guys. I hope he wins again because he's a great champion. And I think he will win again. He's got a great physique. I know everybody's talking about this Chris Bumstead, but I think Breon's just got the complete package, and he's ready to bring in something new, especially with his posing, which was really nice to hear. He wants to come up with a whole new posing routine and have something totally different. So that's going to be awesome. So while I was out there also, I got a chance to talk to Samir and Tom for a while, one-on-one. So I told those guys I want to sit them down on Skype and do a video interview. Samir, we did a few years ago, I think like 3 years ago, but we still got to do part two. But I guess he has a hard time getting on Skype. So I'm going to try and find that WhatsApp. I think he said he wants to do it through that. So I'm going to see if I can record him through that. If not, we'll find a way to do it on Skype. And Tom said he would do it also. So I just got this new application where I was able to get some of these great old videos online. So I've got some really good footage of the 81 Olympia that I want to put into Tom's video when we do that. So he was really excited to hear about that. And I'm also going to be interviewing Lila Brada this week. So we got some really good video interviews coming up soon. You know, if we get Tom Platz and Samir and Lila Brada, we're going to have some really good ones. And Robbie Robinson is supposed to be doing one too. So Rick Valente is going to be setting that up for me. So hopefully I'll get back on Rick this week and see Robbie's little, sometimes he doesn't want to do interviews. So we just got to keep after him. And speaking of the video interviews, I promised the John Torelli one would be up last week. I was waiting for one more video from the 1982 NABBA Universe, which John was in. And John was supposed to send that to me. So he finally did send it to me. So I should be able to include that. And then I can get that video out this week. Look on bodybuildinglegendshow.com, which is our main website, and we'll have it up there. And I'll also have it, of course, on YouTube. But if you want to go to the website, just go to bodybuildinglegendshow.com. And if you go to bodybuildinglegendshow.com, be sure to fill in your email so you can be on our mailing list. And that way, whenever I have any new interviews come out, whether it's a podcast interview or a video interview, I will send you guys the notice through email. So you'll get the emails that we send out every week or two. So you'll be aware of that. All right. Speaking of emails, I've got some viewer comments here. Some of them were on the YouTube channel and some of them were about the podcast. This one is talking, it was on the YouTube channel. It was about Bodybuilding Legends Podcast Season 3, where we talked to Roger Schwab about the 1981 Mr. Olympia. This was the one where we went over all the judges' scores because Roger was the head judge at that contest. It's from Gary Colvin, and Gary says, Mr. Schwab is absolutely correct in his placings. Danny Padilla was flawless. He was actually checking into the Sheraton where we were on Friday afternoon. When we saw his face, my friend said to me, Padilla is going to win this thing. Danny had the death face, zero fat, right? Because Danny was so ripped at that show. Gary says, we were in the eighth row for the entire show. When Danny was announced in fifth place, my wife hurled our program on stage. I never knew she had an arm like that. She could have played for the Yankees, apparently. I felt so, so bad for Danny. He really lost the fire in his belly after that 81 fiasco. Such a shame. All right. Thank you, Gary. Thank you for your comment on that. This was from Scott Barron, who's a longtime listener to the show. He said, John, as always, great historical work with your recent podcast interview. It was a powerful punch to my stomach to learn that Sergio was beaten and robbed of his jewelry when he was elderly. Okay, this was the interview we did with Bob Gaida and Al Yakich and Terry Strand, the one that was on 2 weeks ago. Scott continues, he says, we all know what would have happened to those perpetrators. Would they have tried that when Sergio was in his prime? Once again, congratulations with your recent trip to California and with your interview with Rick Drayson. Lunch with Tom Platz, Samir Benoot, amongst others. That must have been awesome. I also dined at the Firehouse Restaurant twice with Robbie Robinson a couple of years ago. It's a one in a million shot, but due to the collegiate scholarly nature of your work, be bold and contact Arnold's office to request an interview prior to his filming of Terminator. Don't hold your breath, but the worst thing that can possibly happen is an answer of no. All right, that's Scott Barron. Thank you, Scott. I got another comment on my YouTube channel. This was about the Sean Ray interview we did for our video interviews, and this was part two of the Sean Ray interview. Sebastian Ivasco, he says, great interview, John. Like all the others in the series, they are appreciated. They got an email from James Nichols. He's asking about the Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. He said, hey, John, I bought your book, Natural Bodybuilding, a few years back. It was very good and detailed, yet I don't recall it discussing your training strategy during the last week before a contest. The final week adjustments dealt with other factors, such as your take on carbohydrate loading, water intake, etc. Do you cover peak week training in this new book? Yes, I do. In the Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, I talk about what you should do exactly leading up to the contest. That means your diet and your training and your posing. But I also talk about what to do the last week of the contest as far as your diet goes, and also what to do the day of the contest as far as going to the competition, what you should bring to the contest with you, how you should plan for it, what you should expect as far as checking in, the prejudging, the poses they're going to ask for, what you should do between the prejudging and the night show, what you should do at the night show, how you should pump up for the show, if you're involved in the pose down, how you should handle that. I uncover all that stuff. So yes, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder is mostly about competition. You know, although even if you don't compete, you could still learn a lot from it. But it's mostly about how to compete as a natural bodybuilder. So the first half of the book covers from 1991 to 1998 exactly what I did for my shows as far as the training and the nutrition and the supplementation and all that, and whether it worked or whether it didn't. And then the second part of the book is what you should do as far as your training, as far as your dieting, as far as learning how to pose, developing a posing routine. And as I said, that last week of the contest and then actually the day of the contest. So yes, that does cover all of that. So you can purchase that book on Amazon.com along with my other books, which is Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends Volume 1 and also the MP6 Workout. And if you guys want to get a book directly from me, autographed from me instead of getting it on Amazon, just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. You can pay through PayPal and I will send you out a copy autographed to you, if that's what you want to do. All right, so that's it for our viewer questions. If you guys have any comments or any questions you want to send me so I can read them on next week's show, just send them to naturalolympia@gmail.com, or you could send it to me in care of the website, john@bodybuildinglegendshow.com. And I also want to mention we are brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing they're there for you every step of the way. They have quality products and services. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call and give them a try. So call them directly in their office at Tampa, Florida at 813-922-8939, or you can go through their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, flalternativemeds.com, and mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they will give you a free consultation to see what they can help you with. And if you order anything, they will give you 20% off your order. And again, their number, if you want to call them, is 813-922-8939. All right, that is it for our opening. Here is our interview with Larry Jackson, 1979, Mr. California. You're really going to love this interview. Here we go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And my special guest this week is a bodybuilder that competed in the old days of bodybuilding. He was one of the best ever Mr. California winners back in 1979, and he competed with the top bodybuilders in the late 70s, early 80s. So I want to welcome to the show Larry Jackson. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
All right, glad you can join us. I met you a couple weeks ago at Gold's Gym when I was training in the morning with Phil Williams, and right. Saw you out there training right. In the morning.
Yes, I am.
Still keeping it up, huh?
I started training when I was 16 years old, about 16, but I only trained my upper body, though.
Okay.
And then I graduated from high school in 71, and I joined Bill Pearl's gym.
Oh, really?
And okay. Yes, yes. And when I joined Bill Pearl's gym, Bill Pearl's brother was there,
mm-hmm.
Barry Pearl.
Yeah.
So he kind of like showed me what to do, and he always, and he said, Larry, your body is like a house. He said, you build a foundation for like 2 or 3 years.
Mm.
And he said, only use dumbbells most of the time because dumbbells really shape your biceps and stuff.
Mm.
So I followed him for like 2 years. Like I only did, and I'm, matter of fact, when I joined Bill Pearl's gym, I started doing squats.
Mm-hmm.
And for some strange reason, I got pretty good at that. And there was some power lifters there. So
okay.
I started doing squats with them. And they say, it's one exercise you pick. You do squats because squats build your whole body up.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I started doing squats. My legs got so big, but no definition whatsoever. Just really big and strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, I started. Harry said, I should enter a contest. And I said, what you talking about? And he said, it's the Mr. LA is coming up, and they have a junior LA.
Mm.
And you should train for it, you know. And he said, give you 3 months, because he said, my brother Bill, he trained for like 3 months for a contest. So I started doing, so Harry taught me how to diet and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then the contest was in Glendale. And
okay.
Some friends of mine said, Larry, you shouldn't go there because, you know, the white people and stuff, blah, blah. And Harry overheard that.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry said, Larry, I usually don't go to these contests because they're political, but I'm going to go down there and all the fellas here is going to come down there and see you.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, I won every body part except legs and abs. I won
wow.
Best arms, best back. And a matter of fact, when we was in prejudging,
mm-hmm.
they asked me to do a front leg spread. And I did it, right? And the judge had a pencil in his hand, and he dropped the pencil. He said, oh, shit. So, and
that's
then
great.
They told me to turn around, right?
Uh-huh.
Do a back pose. And, man, they were crazy because every contest I ever entered, I always won best back.
Yeah.
Every contest.
Yeah.
I won best back and mostly most muscular and stuff.
What so, year was that, Larry, that you did that?
I think that was my first contest. I think that was in probably in 75 or 76. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It was so far away. So Harry said, Larry, if you want to do good in bodybuilding, you got to go to Gold's Gym. And I said, hey, down there. And he said, Larry, if you want to be a bodybuilder, you should go.
Hmm.
So I did. And I got to Gold's Gym. Robbie Robinson was there. Matthew
mm-hmm.
Perry was there.
Wow.
And Kent King was there.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Grant. And Danny Badilla was there. And
yeah.
when I came, I mean, people were so nice to me. And Cal Stalick was there.
Uh-huh.
It was so, you know, so I started bodybuilding. When I joined Gold's Gym, Ken Sprague had just bought Gold's Gym.
Okay.
And it was three of us. It was me, Tony Pearson, and Bob Jacobowitz. And they say, can you do any contest you want to do? But Tony and Bob Jacobowitz didn't have a job and stuff, but I did. So I couldn't go to all the contests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I started training for, I think, the Mr. California. And I think I forgot what I placed. And then I met Dave Johns.
Okay.
Okay. So I started talking with him and stuff. And then one day, Harry said, Larry, what are you doing on a Saturday? And I said, I'm going to the gym. And he said, no, you're not. You're going to Pasadena to meet my brother Bill Pearl. And guess who's going to be there? Joe Weider's going to be there. So
mm-hmm.
I was so excited. So I went there and I met Joe Weider, Chris
mm-hmm.
Dickerson, and Dave Johns.
Wow.
And I never took no steroids, right?
Uh-huh.
So I was talking to Bill Pearl, and he said, Larry, all of us take steroids. I was so depressed.
Oh, really?
So I said, man, no, seriously. I said, you know what? I am not going to do that.
Right.
And then, do you know Samir Berdut?
Yeah, Samir. Mm-hmm.
Samir, okay. He was there at the gym, and he first came here. He had broke his leg, right?
Oh,
he
really?
Was so skinny. He was so skinny. And then he took cast off, and I was in the locker room, and this guy came out of the shower, and it was Samir. Mm-hmm. And he was so big. You know, I said, damn. And I said, dude, how you get big so fast? And he said, I do this. And then a friend of mine named Dino turned me on the steroids, right?
Okay.
In 3 days, you notice a big difference.
Wow, but, 3 days.
Yeah, in 3 days. So I started to, but the only thing I took was Decker de Roblin and mm-hmm. Winstar or some other mild stuff because I have pretty good genetics and stuff.
Right.
So I started competing, you know, did pretty good and everything. Mm-hmm. And then they sent me to the Mr. California, right? So I was the favorite, but guess who came to California from Pennsylvania? Ron Tufo.
Right.
So Ron Tufo, he's from Pennsylvania. And he's training for the Mr. California.
Yeah.
So they picked Ron Tufo over me. And
he won the tall class, he won the short class, and then he won the overall.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. So I guess the next year I won California.
At 78, when you won that tall class, you beat out Tony Pearson, right?
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I really don't remember Tony back then. Tony, he was a pretty friendly guy. He was really arrogant. Back in the day, he was so arrogant. He wasn't a friendly person. He just wasn't. But
he was only like 21 years old back then, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And I think when we went for the Mr. America,
mm-hmm.
okay, me, Tony, and Bob Jaquish, and I think Mike Mincer brother was there too.
Pretty much, sir.
But
yeah.
He was pretty smooth and everything. So Tony Pearson on the overall thing, though, right? But a friend of mine said, Larry, I was in the judging room, and you supposedly had won the contest, but he says, since you stutter, and at the time, the Mr. America that Monday is going on to Good Morning America. So he picked Tony Pearson over me.
Oh, wow.
And like in the Mr. America, I won best arms, best back, best chest, and most muscular.
Yeah.
And Tony Pearson won the overall thing, right?
I'm looking at the results here now in the medium class. There was 20 guys. And Tony got first, you got second, Richard Baldwin was third, and Ray Mentzer was only sixth. So yeah, you were right there with Tony at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, and my disappointment in that only lasted just a few days because it was a thing me and Charles Glass used to always say, at least we have a job. Me and Charles Glass was the only person in the gym that had a job. Because at the time, I was working for the motion picture industry, and Charles Glass was the engineer and stuff. And Charles used to always say that, at least we have a job, because bodybuilding, it wasn't a livelihood. It was like
pay the bills. Yeah.
A hobby-like.
Yeah.
And so I was training for contests every once in a while. And then I think my last contest, I trained for the Night of the Champions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the thing that Gary Stridham, he placed first in that. And I think I placed real low or something. And that was my last show.
What did you say you did for a living?
I used to work for the motion picture industry at CFI as a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
For like 15 years, and then I got a job at the gas company, and I was at the gas company for 30 years, and I retired 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But as far as bodybuilding go, I stopped competing a long time ago, but I always followed a pretty good diet. Always have. I still do almost the same kind of exercises, like don't press behind the neck. I still do basic also the time and stuff. Because the basics exercise, you're building a foundation.
Right.
And I had back surgery about 10 years ago. And
oh, really?
I didn't shoot. Yes. One Sunday morning, I woke up and I couldn't walk. And it got worse and worse and worse. And I was out of work for like almost a year.
What happened with your back?
My number 4 and 5 disc came out. So I had surgery about 10 years ago, and it's never been better.
Did they fuse it?
No, they just clean it out and stuff like that.
Okay,
so,
okay.
And like now, so I'm 65 now, and like I said, I always watch what I eat still, and I'm still training. But I don't train, I think I train about 4 or 5 times a week. I start biking too now.
You know? Okay.
I try to bike ride at least 3 times a week now.
When I saw you at Gold's, you still look like a real big guy. You know, you still look like a really good shape.
You know what? A friend of mine, he's like 70-something years old, and he said, Larry, a person your age should be getting smaller, but you getting bigger. Right. I said, dude, it's all genetics, okay?
Yeah.
The bottom line is everybody can't be a bodybuilder. It's genetics.
Yeah.
And personal trainers be lying to people. Genetics is 90% of it, because I think I have pretty good genetics, you know.
Yeah.
But as far as like competing and stuff, like I would never do that again. It was the hardest thing. And plus, competing for bodybuilding, you can't have a relationship, because my wife, she couldn't stand it. She didn't mind me lifting weights, but she hated me competing.
Yeah, dieting.
Larry, because she said, Larry, I can't stand you take that stuff, and then you're going for a contest, irritable and stuff all the time. But you know what? Looking back on it, you can't have a marriage in bodybuilding. You just can't.
Yeah.
Because bodybuilding is a selfish sport.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And you got to have a person who likes it just like you. But if you don't have that, it's not workout and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me take you back to that Mr. California. First of all, let me ask, some of those guys you saw when you first went over to Gold's, like Dave Johns and Tony Pearson, Cal Scalak, what did you think of some of those guys? Did any of those guys really stand out? That must have been something going into Gold's.
Cal Scalak had the best chest and the best biceps. And he was really, but you know, the guy that blew mine was Casey Vieter.
Oh, really?
That guy, my God, that guy was so, oh, man. When Casey Vieter came to Gold's Gym, Mike Minster and Ray Minster was doing that heavy duty.
Yeah,
you know,
heavy duty. Yeah.
Casey Vieter tore their asses up.
Really? No kidding.
Oh, man. Casey Vieter wore their asses out. Because Casey is from the old school. He does a bunch of sets and a bunch of reps, right? And Casey tore their butts up. And Casey was Casey was unbelievable. Hey, do you know this bodybuilder back in the day, Craig Munson?
Yeah, I remember him.
Okay, Craig Munson, me and my buddy Charles Glass and Sherman M used to train with him and stuff, right? Craig Munson used to put 315 on the floor. And he'll be on the bench, swear to God, he'll take the 315 off the bench and back on it. He'll do tricep presses with it.
Wow, I heard that. I heard that guy had huge arms, right?
Craig is huge all over.
Right.
You know, Craig was unbelievable.
So he would take a bar weighing 315 off the floor, lay down on it, and do tricep extensions.
Yes. Easy.
Wow.
You used to do it all the time. You used to like bench man 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Very
easily.
And so, and another bodybuilder back in the 70s was Robbie Robinson.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Cut up. And Robbie used to wear cut off jeans, torn shirts in the gym. Oh, man. Unbelievable. Now, Bobby should have won the Mr. Olympia years ago. He was unbelievable and stuff.
I still see Robbie in there now, huh? Do you ever see him at Colts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Robbie is 72 years old.
Yeah.
He's 72 years old. Oh, yeah. And another bodybuilder that helped me a lot was Jim Moores. Jim Moores had a gym in Hollywood. And when I was working for the motion picture industry, I used to train there and stuff. And okay. Jim helped me quite a bit, you know.
Jim was a student of Bill Pearl, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Bill Pearl, Chris Dickerson, and Dave
Johns. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Dave Johns, one day I was talking to him. Guess what? Dave never stopped taking steroids.
Oh, really?
He never did. No, he told me he don't want to be small anymore. And Dave always took Diana Ball and stuff all year round.
Yeah,
all year round. You know, another bodybuilder, you know, bodybuilder named Victor Richards?
Oh, yeah. Sure, I remember Victor Richards, yeah.
Okay. Victor Richards, when he was 17 years old, he was living in the same apartment building I was living in. And I used to run every morning and stuff, so Victor saw me one day. Now, Victor, honest to God, he never touched a weight in his life. Mm-hmm. He had calves. He was naturally built. His brothers, honest to God, they all had natural abs.
Wow.
And they was from Africa, right?
Yeah.
And they used to always walk around with their shirts off. Victor's two brothers, one of them was a doctor and the other one was a dentist. They used to always walk around without their shirts on, but their abs was like really, and they didn't want Victor to lift because they didn't lift weights. Mm-hmm. And Victor started lifting weights. And one day I brought Victor to the gym with me, and the Barbarian Twins was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Barbarian Twins got friendly with Victor and stuff. And Victor started lifting weights. And that's how he got like that. Victor, I think when I met him, he was 16 years old. He never lifted a weight in his life. And he had calves. He had everything.
He had
a naturally body.
Yeah, great genetics.
Just shaped round and round and round. And this guy got really big. But you know what? I saw his brother about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said Victor was in a bad motorcycle accident.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I was wondering what he was doing. I haven't heard about him in a while.
Yeah. And he said he was in a bad motorcycle accident and he didn't want to see Open 01 anymore.
Yeah. Wow. That's a shame.
Yeah. And his brother told me that about 10 years ago.
No good. I never hear of him anymore. I never see him around.
No. Yeah. Because Victor, he was unbelievable. He was just so unbelievable. Like Charles Glass and stuff, but Charles...
You've known Charles a long time, huh? You competed with him in Mr. California, right?
I met Charles back in 1973.
Charles
joined Bill Pearl's gym. And then when I went out with the Gold's gym, I went back to Bill Pearl's and Charles was there. And I said, Charles, you got to come out there. And Charles, I ain't coming out. That's too darn far. And I said, Charles, you got to come out there. And Charles came out there. And Charles said, Larry, thank you. And to this day, me and Charles always talk about that and stuff.
Yeah.
I've been knowing him for, I think I met him in 1973 or 74. Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
What was it like to go to Bill Pearl's gym? When he was at his peak, right, 1971.
Yeah, matter of fact, when I went down there, Dave Johns was there.
Yeah.
Chris Dickerson was there. It was another bodybuilder was there, and then Bill Pearl. But Bill Pearl only trained at nighttime. Bill Pearl was kind of really personal, though. But Harry was more talkative. And then, you know, the gym in the valley, Vince's gym and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we used to go down there, and we met. Dick Bane was there and everything. He was there. And then, what's the other bodybuilder name? Dave Draper was there, too.
Oh, really? You know, okay.
But Dave Draper, he wasn't too friendly, though.
For some reason. Kind of quiet. And
a bodybuilder named Bob Birdsong.
I saw Bob at the Memorial Day show where they had the contest. You know, he was out there.
How's he doing now?
Good. He's kind of thin, but he's lean. He looks good. He looks healthy. You know, I'm trying to get him on the show, too. He was with Dennis Tenorino's widow, Anita.
Yeah.
He was hanging out with her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Casey Beter passed away about, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, about 5 years ago. He was out in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ron Tufo passed away about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you do remember this bodybuilder named Rod Koontz?
Yeah, Rod Koontz, the animal, right?
He passed away about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. You know, said when Casey was working out with the Mensa brothers, he destroyed them, but he was doing heavy weights and high volume, right? He wasn't doing that high intensity stuff.
Casey was doing heavy weights, high reps, a bunch of sets. The guy was unbelievable. And he tore Mensa's asses up. I mean, he tore him up.
Wow.
Seriously. No, seriously. Because Casey was from the old school and stuff.
Yeah,
and he did a bunch of heavy dumbbells like that.
Cal Skalak lifted heavy too, didn't he?
Yes, and Cal Skalak, at the last year, Mr. Olympia, the Olympia he did the cross on,
78.
Banned him from all the contests. And now what Cal does now, he bikes now. Bikes and stuff.
I always liked his physique. He had a great upper body.
Man, unbelievable. Biceps, unbelievable.
Yeah. A friend of mine saw him train a couple times, and he said he would do weights on the bench, and the weights looked like they were styrofoam because he was moving it so easy, you know.
Yeah, no. He was pretty powerful, too.
When you won that Mr. California, or I'm sorry, in 1978, then when you took first in the California and then Ron beat you for the overall, people had to really be looking at you as the guy to win the America that year, huh?
Tony came in first,
mm-hmm.
and Tony went on to the NABBA
Universe
and stuff. And then, and another bodybuilder I could lie to was Serge Nubray. He was unbelievable. His abs was unbelievable.
You probably saw him many times at Gold's, right?
Man, one day I was talking to him, and he said, Americans do not work their abs. I said, what are you talking about? He said, he'd do, for his abs, honest to God, he'd do an hour of leg rises. I'm not kidding you. He'd do an hour of that. And he'd do...
Get off the chamber?
No. On the
floor.
Bench and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
He'll do that. And this guy trained his ass. He had the best looking abs ever. But now, it's all steroids now.
Yeah.
The guys don't even train and stuff now.
I know.
They don't. Mm-hmm. They come to the gym, do a little bit of stuff, and they mostly on drugs.
Yeah.
They do not train. They do not. But put it this way. They don't train the way me and Charles used to train.
Mm-hmm.
But like now, these guys, it's mostly steroids.
How did you guys train back then, Larry?
Hard. Train each body part 3 times a week.
Wow.
Train each body part 3 times a week. But back then, I was a lot younger.
Yeah, sure. I'd recuperate.
Bigger and stuff. And used to always me, Charles, our cousins, and Craig Munson, he's all trained together all the time. Just he's a train 3 to 4 hours a day, every day, 6 days a week, every day. It was fun back, and it wasn't all because Craig Munson only started taking steroids the last 2 years. Craig was naturally big, and Craig's brother Jimmy had natural abs, unbelievable abs, unbelievable. Mm. But Craig Munson, honest to God, dude, he's a curl 100-pound dumbbells. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Craig used to curl 100-pound dumbbells. He's put 315 on the floor and back on the damn. He'd take off the floor himself and back on it. He said, look at this. And Craig, he's still crazy ass sound. Beep, 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 beep. Unbelievable. No, seriously, man, he was unbelievable. He used to always train back and chest on the same day. Do his back first for like an hour, and then he'd do his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Guy was unbelievable strong, just naturally strong. Naturally big. Because when I first met Craig's brother, Craig was in San Quentin. And Jimmy used to always talk about his brother. Everybody used to talk about Craig Munson. And when Craig Munson got out, we couldn't believe it. He was one of the nicest persons in the world. One of the nicest persons in the world. But God damn, he was big. His his hands, he'd shake your hand, your hand is gone. He was so big. He's still big.
Yeah. Is he still big? Yeah. You see him anymore?
Matter of fact, I talked to him about a few weeks ago, and we supposed to have lunch and stuff. A matter of fact, he have a video on YouTube. It's 3 hours long. He's talking about his prison life. It's very interesting. It's very interesting how he trained in the prisons and stuff, and then when he got out, because Craig used to be a professional bodyguard, you know.
Oh, yeah. What did he go to prison for, Larry?
He killed someone a long time ago. Because he used to be, because like in L.A., it just used to be a gang called the Avenues.
Mm-hmm.
He was a leader of it back in the 60s. And he was a leader of it. And the Avenues turned into the Crips. But Craig, back in the day, he was pretty bad and stuff. But when he served his time, he came out, he was a different person, though.
Yeah.
But he was the Europe and stuff. And, yeah, another bodybuilder I used to train with was John Brown. Trained him a lot, too.
Yeah.
He was good, too, you know.
Yeah.
So John was friendly. The only bodybuilder that wasn't friendly was Tony Pearson for some reason. He was he was cocky. He wasn't friendly. Not at all. Not at all.
When you're talking about the drugs and stuff, were you guys, because you said Dave Johns was on them all the time, would you guys get off them for a while when you were getting ready for competitions?
The only time I took drugs was when I was training for a show.
Okay.
And some of my friends took it all the time.
Yeah.
But I only took drugs when I was training for a show. Mm-hmm. And when I wasn't training for a show, I didn't take that stuff. And then black guy, tall guy.
Mike Christian?
Kristen.
Kristen.
He took it all the time. Okay. Yeah. And he got real big. And I think when I trained for the Mr. International, and that was the year Arnold sent me there, and that was the year Franco won, but Danny Badilla should have won the whole show. I think Danny Badilla plays fifth or something, but Danny should have won the whole show, and Tom Platz looked really good. But the Mr. International, I came in second, and Scott Wilson came in first. It's looked real good. Scott Wilson looked real good. I said, he deserved that. And then that's when guys start taking growth hormone.
Oh, really? That early, huh? 81?
Yes.
Wow.
That's when they start taking it. And a friend of mine, I never competed against him. And one day, he came into the gym and stuff. And I was coming out of the third room down the steps. And he was coming towards me. He scared the shit out of me. His head was so big. I said, no way in the hell I'm going to take that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when they started taking it. And I said, no, no more. I said, no, no. And then I think about 3 years later, I trained for the Night of the Champion.
Right.
And the judges didn't even look at me. And that was the year Gary Stridham won that. And Gary took growth hormone and everything else. And I said, no more. Because, like, now, guys are – and do you remember this photographer from Australia named Chris Ludd?
Yeah.
He told me one day And he said, Larry, you're lucky you don't compete anymore. And I said, why is that? And he said, Larry, I roomed with one of the top bodybuilders, and he at the bed with insulin in his arms. I said, what? And he said, yeah, Larry, they all do it. Yeah.
What year was that, Larry?
Just after the Mr. International.
Oh, really? 81? Can,
Yeah.
Hmm. I didn't think the growth in the insulin was around that early.
It was there because Tom Platz was on it, too.
Hmm.
Wow. On that stuff. Yep. Because Tom's legs are so big.
Yeah.
And you can't get legs like that taking steroids. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Do you remember Pete Kwiatkowski?
Yeah, Pete Kwiatkowski, sure. One of the owners of Gold's.
Yeah, he was taking it back then. You know how big he was. His shoulders, he was taking it.
Yeah.
Back then. And then, but they had a bunch of fake growth hormone, and people was buying it and stuff, and it wasn't on the real thing. And then I think Lee Haney was the first bodybuilder that had his own chemist. One day I was talking to him, and he said, Larry, I have my own doctor. He makes it for me and stuff. So Mike Christensen started doing it, and all the other bodybuilders started doing that stuff. But it was so expensive.
That was a synthetic growth hormone, right? That's when that first started coming out.
Yeah. But they had a doctor take a blood test and stuff and do all this. Because it was a guy Mike Christen used to go to in San Jose. And this doctor made the steroids for him and everything. But it was so expensive. It was just so expensive. Because I think Mike Christen told me one time, paid a doctor $2,000 for one cycle, and $2,000 back then was a lot of money and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and guys back then, like I said, man, they didn't have jobs. And Bill Grant used to work for the American Airlines, right?
Right, right.
So when Bill Grant won the Mr. World, he quit his job.
Oh, really?
Yes, he quit his job because he thinking he was going to make some money in bodybuilding. But back in the day, the only kind you can make some money taking pictures and stuff, but it wasn't paying the bills and everything.
Yeah.
And then Bill, he went on bad times and stuff. And like now, I think he's doing something for Arnold now.
You know? Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and then you remember Bill Pettis, right?
Yeah.
Bill Pettis with the big arms and everything.
Yeah, the biggest arms.
He used to train there doing stuff. Yeah, sure did.
So you noticed the difference in the physiques from the 70s to the 80s, right? That there started to change in the 80s.
Yeah, because when I was competing, everybody wanted a small waistline. Everybody want that taper look. Like now, they have the big gut now, but with abs and everything.
Yeah.
Like I said, bodybuilders now, they don't even look pleasant and stuff. They're too big. And the girls look terrible.
Yeah. What did you think was your best shape? Was it when you won that Mr. California, or was it maybe the Mr. International?
I think my best shape ever was the Mr. International.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think in my second Mr. America, I think I placed seventh or something. And then I think I stopped competing. And then it was a photographer named Bill Reynolds, and he was Arnold's friend. And Bill Reynolds said, Larry, I trained for the Mr. International, and I would take some pictures of you and give them to Arnold and stuff. So I got in shape, and Bill took some pictures of me, and then he made an appointment to go and see Arnold, you know. So I did and stuff, and I gave the pictures to him, and Arnold, he looked down and said, oh, man, you good. So he sent me there and everything. And that was my last, I was in pretty good shape then. And that was the last one,
Okay. Last
one and everything, because I didn't want to take growth hormone.
When you lost at Mr. America to Tony Pearson. I know they had that pose down for the Mr. Universe. Did you stay for that too? Because I know Tom Platz, he won the medium class, right? And he beat Tony.
Yeah. No, that was so long ago. I really, the only thing I remember about that, about the Mr. America, because my grandmother was there,
mm-hmm.
and I saw her walking down the aisle, and she hugged me, said, "Larry, you look real good." And she told me something that stuck with me for the rest of my life. She said, "Larry, never feel bad if someone else is judging you."
Hmm.
And that stuck with me forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I was disappointed, but it only lasted a couple of days.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
it. That was.
Were you surprised that Tony beat Ron Tufel for the overall?
No, because Ken Sprague couldn't stand Ron Tufel.
Mm.
He hated him.
Yeah.
He couldn't stand. He could, because I think Ron Tufel, he was real arrogant, just like Tony.
Yeah.
Wasn't a difference. But Ron Tufel had real big calves, and Ron Tufel lost. He was mad.
Yeah, I remember walking off stage. Yeah.
He said, "How can that sucker beat me? He don't even have no calves."
Right.
He don't even.
The story I always heard was that Ron moved from Pennsylvania to California to train for the Mr. America, and then he won the Mr. California. You know, he was in that with you. And then he did the America, but by that point, he had already moved back to Pennsylvania, and that's why he lost. That's the, was the story I heard.
No. He lost that contest because Ken Sprague couldn't stand him. He couldn't, Ken Sprague, because Ken Sprague was pretty well off, in it, but he could not stand him. He couldn't stand him. But Ken Sprague, he liked Tony, though.
Yeah.
For sure. And Bob Jaquet. It was another body. I forgot the other. It was three of us. It was me, but no, it was four of us, me, Bob Jaquet, and Tony Pearson, and somebody else. And they said, "All four of y'all, any contest you want to go to, it's yours." But like I said, I couldn't do that, though.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, the next year you won it, right? In 79, you won the California. You won the whole thing.
Yeah.
You beat out Gary Leonard and John Brown.
Yeah, John Brown. He was funny, John Brown, yeah. And Gary Leonard.
Yeah.
Only because Gary Leonard won the Mr. America, I think, three years later, right?
1981.
Oh, the next year?
Yeah, 1980.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
And what's that other guy? It was a black guy. It's a real nice abs. What was his name?
Oh, Bronston Austin?
Yeah, Bronston Austin.
Yeah, he won the late heavyweights, yeah.
Yeah, and he finished that. He retired. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because he didn't want to keep taking his stuff, you know.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You competed in a couple pro shows too, right, Larry? You did the Denver Grand Prix in 83, and then you did that Night of the Champions.
Did I?
It says you did the Denver Grand Prix. Tony Pearson won it.
No kidding.
Tony won it, and you got seventh or eighth. It says eighth.
Yeah.
That was an eighth.
And, I was in the USA, and I think it was in San Jose.
Okay.
And I was in prejudging, and they told me something. They gave me some wrong information that the prejudging was going to be in two parts. And I came for the first part. And I won everything, and I got some wrong information, and me and my girlfriend went back to the hotel room, and when I came back for the contest, I was disqualified.
Really?
And I said, "What are you talking about?" Then he said, "I didn't come back for the second prejudge." I said, "No one told me that." So I said, "Wow, so I should have had won that contest."
What year was that, Larry?
It was after the Mr. America contest, the Mr. USA, and but not the guy who won it.
The Robert Reese who won that?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Wow, yeah, the blonde guy.
Yeah, big guy, right?
Yeah, very nice guy, too. I was so cut up. I was disappointed. But you know what? Like I said, it only lasted a couple of days because it's nothing. I'm still like that. Things in the past, I don't dwell on it because there's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, there's nothing you could do about it.
I just don't do that. When my grandmother told me that, that always stuck with me.
Yeah.
Nothing you could do about the past.
Right.
Because
that's
if you keep thinking about it, you're only hurting yourself.
Right.
I never think about the past. I only try to think about the, but sometimes it's hard, but I think about the future. I can't look in the rear view mirror because it's in the past.
Yeah.
I look in the big windshield because
it's
in the front. But you know what? I have a pretty good life. You know, I'm retired now and I live a pretty nice life.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds like you're married. You had worked 30 years, right, at the gas company, you said?
I worked for the gas company 30 years and 7 days exactly. In 30 years, I retired at 63. I said 30 years is enough. You know, I'm still young. I can still walk. And some of my co-workers, they could barely walk. And I said, man, what are y'all doing here? You know, I talked two of my friends into retiring. I said, man, what are y'all doing? You're not going to make no extra money.
Right.
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Because the gas company is changing. We can't do the things we used to do. It's so strict now. They watch everything we do now. They have Q&A, doing all kind of crazy things. You know, it's time to leave, man, but forget that.
Yeah, you put your time in, right?
Honestly, I've been working since I was 16 years old, nonstop. And plus, my wife passed away 3 years ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, she passed away 3 years ago, and I was married to her for 37 years.
Wow.
And she had a pretty good job, a pretty good retirement. I mean, worked out for us pretty well and stuff. And just what Charles Glass used to always say, at least we have a job. At least we have a job. Because guys, man, because some of the bodybuilders who I used to compete with is doing pretty bad now.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Because, you know, but life is hard out here. Life is hard.
In California?
Everywhere. To make a living, it's hard. You got to get up every morning and go to work. You know, I worked for the gas company for like 30 years, and I think I called in sick. Seriously, I think I called in sick only twice after that. I didn't ever call in sick. For what? And plus, I was in customer service, okay? Customer service, you go inside people's homes, right? So that's what I did. And I did, I was working in Malibu, Bel Air, Palisades, everywhere, all over, man, all over. I used to go in people's homes and stuff, man, and just see meet some nice people out there.
Right.
Hey, you know that baseball announcer, Ben Scully?
Yeah.
Okay, I did an order at his house one time. He had a new heater put in his house, right? And when you turn gas on to a meter, you just can't turn it on and leave. You gotta look at the test hand. So when I turned the gas back on, it was thinning. And I said, there's something on in the house. And he said, come on, let's go in the house, right? Because a big house like that, you gotta go into every room and stuff, right? Dude, I went into every room of this guy's house, and his wife's log lighter was on, so I turned it off. But guess what?
What?
The guy didn't have anything about baseball in his house. I'm like,
oh, really? Wow. That's surprising.
And I said, Vince, I went into every room of your house, and I didn't see anything about baseball. And he started laughing, and he said, Mr. Gasman, this is my home. He said, my job is baseball. He said, I leave all that stuff at an office downtown. He said, my home. It's in my family. He's one of the nicest persons you ever want to meet.
Oh, really?
He is so down to earth.
He passed away a couple of years ago?
No.
Maybe he retired. I think he retired.
Yeah, he retired 2 years ago.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he looks like you're doing good, Larry. I seen you in the gym, like I said, and you look like you're in good shape. So you're still hitting it. You're still hitting the same routine.
Yes, yes. But the main thing with me is eating good, going bike riding, or doing aerobics at the gym every day. I'd be there and everything.
Okay. You know, yeah.
You like that, yeah.
And you see your friend Charles Glass there every morning.
Yeah, yeah. Like I see Charles there, you know, and we talk all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. All right, Larry. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast. I really enjoyed your stories. And like I said, I always remember you from being one of the best Mr. Californias ever. Great hearing man. Some of your stories at Gold's Gym.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember Andreas Collins?
Yeah, Andreas Collins, sure.
A super nice guy. You know, haven't seen him in years, but the last time I seen him, he went to the dentist, and the dentist was working on his teeth, and he hit a nerve, and half his face is paralyzed now.
Oh, that's how it happened? He went by going to the dentist?
Yeah.
Wow.
Super nice guy.
Yeah. Just he's in great nice. Shape, too. He's always ripped now.
Oh, yeah. Super nice guy. And Bill Grant and everything, super nice guy.
Yeah,
and
Bill's a great
Bill
guy.
Bill Pettis, stuff like that. You remember Daniel Berry, right?
Yeah, yeah, I've never met him, but yeah, I remember him. He was a great bodybuilder.
He was Lou Gringle's double for the Hawk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
and didn't he spent a lot of years being a stuntman, right? Didn't he make a career out of that? Yeah.
Yes, matter of fact, he does now. For the movies, he's a stunt coordinator now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's in charge of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to him one day. I'm sure he's got some great stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Daniel Berry, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
So, all right, Larry. Well, thank you again for joining us. And maybe I'll see you at Gold's again if I ever stop in there.
All right, brother. Take care, okay?
All right. You too, Larry. Thanks, buddy. Bye. All right, thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks to Larry Jackson for joining us for that interview. And next week, we'll be back with another story about the old school days of bodybuilding. I want to thank our sponsors, Florida Alternative Medicine, Redcon One, and Old School Labs for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Take care.